We had quite a scare. Remember I told you that Lenny Joe met a wonderful young man, a colleague in England? He came over here to visit her. Originally, he'd planned to catch the Concorde out of Paris, the very one that crashed and killed everyone on board. Thank God he decided to book another flight. This man is the one. I had that feeling the moment I first saw my daughter and William together. My guess is they'll be married within a year. I haven't seen Lenny Joe this happy in a very long time. She's so calm about it, so like Monty. William is well aware of what a joy she is. I hate the thought of her moving to London, but I suspect that's the way it'll have to be if they do get married. Everything about this relationship feels right. Jillian.
Riverside Clinic, 258 West 81st Street, New York, New York, 10024. Dr. Louise Novak, oncologist. August 11, 2000. Dear Jillian Gordon, the blood work from your most recent checkup is in. Please make an appointment with Dr. Novak at your earliest convenience. We look forward to seeing you soon. Sincerely, Pat Tierney, RN.
Leslie Milton. From Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com to Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent August 25th, 2000. Subject, your visit. Leslie, I've had a change of heart about visiting the Vietnam War Memorial. You're absolutely right. Savor the moment. It's time I faced the wall. I can't wait for you to get here. We're going to have a fabulous time. See you the first week of October. Love, Jillian. September 19th, 2000. Good morning, Mom. The coffee's on and I'm leaving for work early this morning. Did you hear Will and me on the phone last night? I couldn't believe he'd pay the big bucks to call when it's so easy to email. But he had something to ask me, and he didn't want to do it over the computer. I'll bet you can guess. Mom, Will asked me to marry him, and I told him yes. Then I got teary-eyed because I wished so badly that I could be with him. His visit in July seems like a lifetime ago. We want to be together, and the sooner, the better. Neither Will nor I wants a long engagement, and we both prefer a small wedding. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. Now, here's the second part. We'd like to be married in London. Will's family is much larger than mine, and it only makes sense that you and I travel to London instead of asking his parents, twin sister, and brother to trek all the way to New York. We can have a reception here afterward if you want. I didn't want to wake you to discuss it, so I made an executive decision and agreed. I didn't think you'd mind. I was so happy and excited after we talked that I couldn't sleep. When Paul and I broke up, I thought I'd never want anything more to do with men. You said I would. And you were, of course, right. Oh, Mom, I'm so in love. Will is a wonderful, wonderful man, and I'm crazy about him. Call me once you're up. Shall we celebrate tonight and have dinner out? I think we should. Love, Lenny Joe. Jillian's Journal. October 15th, 2000. I saw Leslie off early this morning, and only now have time to reflect on her visit. With my dearest friend here and Lenny Joe bustling about planning her wedding, I've barely had a moment to myself. Everything seemed to be happening at once. Lenny Jo glows with happiness, and just being around her, I get caught up in her excitement and joy. Leslie is thrilled for her, too. The highlight of her visit was our trip to Washington, D.C. I dreaded seeing the Vietnam War Memorial. I've avoided it for years. I was sure the emotion would be too much, that it would overwhelm me and break through all my hard-won contentment, my resignation, and the minute I found Nick's name engraved in the wall, that's exactly what happened. I'm thankful Leslie was with me. We hugged and wept together. When I found the strength, I placed my fingertips against Nick's name. At the same time, I saw my own reflection in the black marble. Actually and metaphorically, emotionally and spiritually, he was part of me. In all the years he's been dead, I've never felt his presence this profoundly, even more strongly than the day I had that near-death experience. I felt a sense of peace. I held my head high, proud to have loved Nicholas Patrick Murphy, proud of the sacrifice he made. The politics of the Vietnam War are forgotten, pondered only by historians. But the men and women who died there will continue to live in our hearts. Visiting the wall changed me. I wish now that I'd gone years ago. I remember Brad Lincoln's letter after his visit to the Vietnam Memorial. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it. As I recall, he'd had a very similar reaction. The wall certainly focuses one's thoughts on death and on life. The brave and honorable men who are commemorated here will remain forever young, forever loved, and forever remembered. Leslie knows. I've never been able to keep a secret from her. We weren't together a day, and she asked me about the breast cancer. It's back, more virulent than ever. With her, I could reveal my fears. For Lenny, Joe, and Gary, I've put on a brave front. But this is my second confrontation with the ravening beast, and I'm feeling uncertain. Dr. Novak wants to do a second surgery, followed once again by chemotherapy and radiation. Just when I'd grown accustomed to my full head of gray hair, it appears I'm going to lose it. I want to live, but if I should lose this battle, then so be it. At least I'll die knowing my daughter is happy and settled. I know my son-in-law will look after Lenny Joe. I've told no one else, certainly not my daughter or Gary. I insisted Leslie keep my secret. With the wedding less than a month away, the last thing Lenny Joe needs to hear is this. We'll both be forced to face it soon enough. I'm certainly in no rush. I'm doing everything that's asked of me, taking the medication, dealing with the doctors, and the almost constant appointments. I have faith that everything that can be done is being done. My one complaint is how tired I've been lately. I wished I hadn't told Leslie so soon after her arrival. From that point on, she was worse than a mother, constantly monitoring me, asking how I felt and whether I needed anything. I'm afraid my patience has been in short supply these past few days. I think Gary has guessed. He suggested shorter walks and only 3 times a week. He insisted his knees were bothering him, but I don't believe it. I didn't mean to be morbid, but I've chosen a headstone. Leslie was appalled. I've already paid for the plot next to Monty. It made sense to do so when we buried him. I knew then that I would never remarry. I've been blessed to love 2 wonderful men in my life, and I wasn't about to press my luck.
William Chatsworth, December 1st, 2000. Dear Mum, I realize it's somewhat premature to call you Mum, since Lenny Joe and I won't be married until next weekend, but I didn't think you'd object. The purpose of this letter is to thank you for raising Lenny Joe to become the woman she is, the woman I love. Although we had worked together for a number of months, she was little more than a name at the bottom of a fax. I knew nothing about her personally, although I'd come to admire her integrity and spirit. Before I met Lenny Joe, I'd despaired of finding a wife. She was like a summer breeze that swept into my life, bringing laughter and wonder and joy. I fell instantly in love with her. To my everlasting gratitude, she feels the same way about me. My family loves her, and, like me, is thankful that she's willing to become one of us. All of this is a circuitous way of thanking you for Lenny Joe. I love her more than I dare to believe I could love anyone. When we say our vows, I want you to be assured that I will love and care for her the rest of my life. My commitment to her is complete. Sincerely, William Chatsworth.
Judge Jillian L. Gordon, retired, is pleased to announce the marriage of her daughter, Lenny Joe Gordon, to William Henry Thomas Chatsworth III, on December 9, 2000. A reception to honor the couple is being held at the Water Club, 500 East 30th Street, December 30, 2000, at 3 o'clock. RSVP.
2001. Jillian's Journal. January 1, 2001. I wish I knew what's happened in the last 12 months. I don't need a calendar as much as a stopwatch these days. The weeks just melt away. In part, this is due to how busy I've been this past year. First the trip to London with Lenny Joe, then this second bout with cancer, which seems to occupy my every moment, all my strength and all my resolve. Even after the first run-in with cancer, I treated my health almost casually. This has been a lesson well learned. If I'm cured, not if,
when. I will never again take my health for granted. Lenny Joe is blissfully happy. Will is a marvelous husband, and I think nothing of hopping on a flight to visit her for a few days whenever my treatment schedule allows. It's exhausting, but worth it. I've seen more of Leslie this year than in the last 5. She was here for my surgery and stayed both before and after. Gary and my dearest friend took turns watching over me. I'm feeling somewhat stronger now, and I'm very encouraged, especially with the new medications I'm on. The chemotherapy is rough and depletes me emotionally as well as physically, but Leslie and Gary have done their best to keep my spirits up. Gary and I are closer than ever. After Leslie left for home, he took it upon himself to see to my care and comfort. He's been wonderful, and I'm deeply indebted to him. I know he emails Lenny, Joe, and Will with regular updates. We continue with our daily walks and have dinner together at least 3 times a week and sometimes more. He's my companion and dearest friend, after Leslie, of course. I know he'd like us to marry, but he hasn't broached the subject in some time, and frankly, I'm grateful. I wish I knew why I'm so hesitant. Fear, I guess. I've already had 2 great loves in my life, Nick and then Monty, and lost them both. I don't think I could endure that kind of emotional agony again. Leslie thinks I'm cheating Gary and myself, and perhaps I am, but I have enough to cope with. I can't think about marriage right now, especially now. I don't know what the future holds, not when I'm living with cancer. Well, this election mess is finally over, thank God. Within days, George W. Bush will be sworn into the White House. Who would have believed this fiasco would drag on for weeks? I only hope this kind of confusion and craziness never occurs again. I'm growing tired. A constant problem these days, so I'll cut this short. Gary is taking me for a walk in the park later and then out to dinner. Jillian Gordon, from Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com to Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent. February 28, 2001. Subject, earthquake. Dearest Jillian, a quick note to let you know that I'm fine and so are all the kids. The news said the Seattle area earthquake registered 6.8 on the Richter scale. I can believe it. We were all badly shaken. No pun intended. Several photographs and pictures fell off the walls and all the drawers in the kitchen opened and stuff spilled onto the floor. But that's minor compared to the damage in downtown Seattle. Now I know why so few people around here have brick houses. Thankfully, Stephen was home and we were together when the quake hit. I'll get back to you as soon as I can, but I didn't want you to worry. Love, Leslie. Leslie Milton. From Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com to Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent. September 11, 2001. Subject, the events of this morning. Dearest Leslie, dear God in heaven, how can this be happening? Terrorists, madness, death, and destruction? I hardly know what to write other than to assure you that I'm fine. The phones are useless, and there's no way I can call you, and no way you can call me. By some twist of fate, Lenny, Joe, and Will managed to reach me, and I'm grateful to have spoken briefly to my daughter. We wept together and were cut off after only a few minutes. My heart is screaming at the horror that is taking place so close to my home. I cannot believe anything this terrible would happen. Not here in New York, not in my town, my neighborhood, not to us as a nation. I am in shock, in pain and in mourning. I don't think any American will ever be the same again. How can we be? How will we ever recover from such evil? I have no answers, only questions. Everything that seemed so important only a few days ago is irrelevant now. I can't donate blood, but I'll do whatever I can. God bless America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Jillian.
2002. Leslie Milton. From Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com. To Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent. January 15, 2002.
Subject: sick to death. Leslie: I've put up as much of a fight as I could, but I'm sick to death of all this and want it to end. My medical team wants me to undergo a third series of treatments. I can't do it. These last 16 months have been terrible. The cure is worse than the disease. What can cancer do to me that the physicians haven't already done? I've been poked, pinched, prodded. I've endured all I can. Don't bother to argue with me. It's too late. I told them no more. Do you remember when Monty asked the doctors to cease all treatment and let him die? I pleaded with him, begged him to change his mind and fight as long as he could. He so rarely denied me anything, but he did that time. He asked to die with dignity. I understand now. How very well I understand. I can't do this any longer. I can't sit in another waiting room, can't endure another day of this. I can't tolerate looking at myself emaciated and hairless. I can't stand the exhaustion or the nausea. I turn 54 today, and I feel like 104. After this last bout, I'm weary of the battle. The white flag is up. This soldier has laid down her weapon, and surrender is imminent. Don't be angry with me, Les. I'm just sick to death of being sick to death. As always, Gary has been wonderful, but I'm an emotional drain on him, and I know it. It's been 16 hellish months for both of us. I can't continue to put him through this, him or me. I want out.
Jillian Gordon, from Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com, to Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com, sent January 15, 2002. Subject: happy birthday. Dearest Jillian,
no. I can't. I won't let you give up. You're my dearest and best friend, and I refuse to let you die at 54. You, of all people, know how stubborn I can get. I should have been there before now. I should have known. This does it, and Stephen agrees. My bags are already packed, and Stephen is buying me a plane ticket as we speak. I'm flying out tomorrow to be with you, and I'm not leaving until you kick me out the door. Do you remember when we were in Latin class, and I just couldn't seem to get the hang of those verbs? When it came to biology and chemistry, I was a whiz, but Latin was about to do me in. I wanted to give up and accept a C, but you refused to let me. For hours you drilled me until I knew those verb conjugations as well as my own name. My dear, this is Latin class all over again. Only this time, I'm the one who's going to stand by you. We're in this together. Cancer might have worn you down, but I'll be there by your side, my arm around you. This is one monster we are going to face together. Gary on one side and me on the other. As you said, you've been poked, pinched, and prodded, and now you're about to be pampered. I should have come sooner, should have realized you needed me, but I know it now and I'm on my way.
Mr. and Mrs. William Chatsworth, 112 Waterbury Street, London, England, January 15th, 2002. Dearest Mom, happy birthday. Will and I have some wonderful news we've been saving for your birthday. We're going to make you a grandma. That's right. I'm pregnant. Oh, Mom, you can't imagine how excited Will is. Was Daddy like this when you told him you were pregnant with me? The way Will's treating me, it's as though I'm the only woman in the world who's ever managed such a feat. The baby is due the last week of August. You'll be able to come to England, won't you? I hate it that you've been so sick lately. You try to hide how dreadful this time has been, but I can read between the lines. Will and I hope that your first grandchild will give you something to look forward to. We both love you very much. Oh, Mom, I don't think I've ever been so happy or so in love. Enjoy your gifts, book your ticket for August now, and have a wonderful, wonderful birthday. Will and Lenny Joe.
Jillian Lawton Gordon, 331 West End Avenue, Apartment 1020, New York, New York, 10023. Riverside Clinic, 258 West 81st Street, New York, New York, 10024. Attention, Dr. Louise Novak. Dear Louise,
A note to apologize for my behavior during my last appointment on December 30th. I hope you can forgive my negative attitude. You're right. Cancer has its positive aspect and all the lessons it can teach us about ourselves. In the past few weeks, I've reconsidered and have decided to accept the next bout of treatments. It seems I'm to become a grandmother for the first time, and I have a very stubborn friend who insists on staying by my side. With this kind of incentive and support, I feel I must agree to these treatments. Thank you for your patience with me. Sincerely, Jillian Lawton Gordon.
March 1st, 2002. Jillian. A note on your pillow to tell you that you're the bravest person I know. Leslie.
March 2nd, 2002. Leslie.
A note on your pillow to let you know you're the craziest, funniest, most wonderful friend anyone has ever had. I can't believe you shaved your hair off for me so we could be twins. Are you nuts?
Yes, and I love it. Thank you for being my best friend. Jillian.
Jillian Lawton Gordon, 331 West End Avenue, Apartment 1020, New York, New York, 10023. July 3rd, 2002.
Dearest Leslie, I have wonderful news. The latest blood work shows that my platelet count is back to normal, and that's the first time in almost 2 years. I won't officially be in remission for a while, but it looks encouraging. Just a few months ago, I was willing to suspend all treatment, and you wouldn't let me. I literally owe you my life. I have another bit of news. Gary was by earlier this morning, and he surprised me by announcing that he's purchased a condominium in Boca Raton, Florida. He has family there and plans to move within the next couple of months. He asked me to marry him, which he's done periodically over the years. He wants to teach me golf and take me sailing. He says the only reason he stayed in New York is me, and frankly, he's tired of waiting. It's now or never. I already know what you're going to say. Marry him. I'd be a fool not to. Perhaps you're right, but I can't imagine leaving New York after all these years. Especially now, when the city needs support from the people who love it. Gary loves me. I know he does. And here's the real surprise. I love him, too. I never thought that what we shared would extend beyond friendship. I was so crazy about Nick and then Monty. I didn't think it was in me to feel this intensely about another man. I can already hear your next question. Why am I hesitating? Leslie, I don't know. Am I so settled in my ways that I can't deal with change? Am I a complete idiot? I just don't know. I can't bear the thought of losing Gary. And at the same time, I'm not sure another marriage is right for me either. If you have any pearls of wisdom to share, I'd greatly appreciate hearing them. Love, Jillian.
Mr. and Mrs. William Chadsworth, 112 Waterbury Street, London, England, July 15, 2002. Dearest Mom, if you don't marry him, I swear I'll never speak to you again. All right, I will, but I'd forever think you a fool. Gary is the best thing to happen to you in years. Enclosed is the latest ultrasound of your grandson. Isn't he perfect? Will is walking on air. Blue is such a lovely color, isn't it? What do you think of the name Charles Leonard Chadsworth? It has a nice sound, don't you think? I can hardly wait to see you. It shouldn't be long now. Love, Will, and Lenny Joe.
Jillian Lawton Gordon, 331 West End Avenue, Apartment 1020, New York, New York, 10023. July 29th, 2002. Dear Gary, it hasn't even been a month, but I miss you so much. A dozen times I've started to call you, and then remembered you're not at that number anymore. You no longer live in New York. I don't blame you for growing impatient with me. I can be a stubborn fool, as my daughter and my best friend have taken pains to point out. For the first 2 weeks, I waited for you to come to your senses and realize we belong together. It wasn't until this morning that I saw I was the one being unreasonable. All right, Gary, I'll marry you.
but I don't know if I can live in Boca Raton all year. Can we compromise? Can we divide our time between there and New York? I feel I should warn you, my love, that there are no guarantees with regard to my cancer. It could return. It already has once, as you're well aware. But then you're not looking for guarantees, are you? You want a wife. We are both young enough to travel, and for my part, I intend to make frequent trips to London. Charles is going to know his grandma very well indeed. I love you, Jillian.
Leslie Milton. From Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com to Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent August 16, 2002. Subject, Cancer Walk. Dearest Leslie, now that Gary and I are married, I don't know why I held out for so long. We delayed our trip to England until after the cancer walk this October. In fact, we've arranged our schedule around it. When I wrote you about the walk, I was hoping you and Stephen would be willing to sponsor me. I'm working hard at getting pledges from family and friends. What I didn't expect was your refusal. I have to tell you, that took me aback. I quickly figured out what you're up to. You're flying out here and doing the walk with me, aren't you? I love it. I couldn't be more excited or pleased. It's perfect. I'd never have survived this long journey without your love and friendship. And I'm not just talking about the cancer. You're the type of friend who divides my grief and doubles my joy. How I treasure you and all the years we've shared. Come any time. The welcome mat is out. Gary and Stephen can play chess in Central Park while you and I join thousands of other women who are cancer survivors. The fact is, we've survived so much more and are the stronger for it. This is the best time of my life. I'm happy, Les. Really happy. Despite the sorrows I've experienced with Nick's death and Monty's, with the devastating attack on New York, with my own illness, or maybe because of all that. Grief makes us understand what truly matters in life, doesn't it? Love, friendship, family, being part of a community. And I've come to consider myself a New Yorker through and through. Memories. You and I have so many. And I hope we'll be granted the time to make lots more. I can't wait to see you. Love, Jillian.
Epilogue. Leslie Milton. From Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com to Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent July 20th, 2010, 7:34 a.m. Subject, Grandma Camp. Leslie, I can't believe you talked me into this grandma camp idea of yours. I don't think I've slept 3 hours straight in the past week. These kids hardly seem to need any sleep at all. Although, after getting Gary and me up at 6 this morning, they did go back to bed. And so, of course, did Gary. Not me, though, which is why I'm at the computer a little earlier than usual. Charlie, who's almost 9, is enthralled with American baseball and wants to watch every single game on TSN. He's declared, rather apologetically since I'm such a New Yorker, that he's a Boston Red Sox rather than a Yankees fan. Thankfully, Gary loves baseball too and has taken my very English grandson to a couple of games at Yankee Stadium. I've been with the Twins all week, and trust me, they're a handful. I'd forgotten that 6-year-old girls could have this much energy. And with 2 of them, the energy quota is doubled. No, more than doubled. Tripled. I'm not complaining, mind you, because we're having a ridiculous amount of fun, even if I've had to sacrifice regular sleep. You're right about this special time with grandchildren. I'm getting to really know them, and they're getting to know me. I want them to understand, to feel how deeply I love them. How much they mean to me. I marvel at Charlie with his lovely British accent because he reminds me of Monty. I see my husband smile in my grandson's eyes. At first it stopped me cold, the way he looks and acts so like the grandfather he never knew. I can sense that Monty is watching over his grandchildren with love. He would have treasured them. But Gary's been marvelous with all 3. They call him Grandpa, and it seems completely right and natural. I heard from Lenny Joe and Will, and they're having a marvelous time in New Orleans.
Will has always wanted to visit the city. I never expected my British son-in-law to become enamored with Cajun cooking. He's purchased 4 cookbooks and picked up numerous bottles of hot sauce and various kinds of spices. Apparently, he has every intention of preparing dishes like jambalaya and etouffee once they get back to London. Lenny Jo could hardly wait to talk to me. You'll never guess who she met on Bourbon Street. Paul. I can't recall his surname now, but he's the musician Lenny Jo was so crazy about 14 or 15 years ago. He's working in one of the clubs, and not as a musician either. He was tending bar. Lenny Jo introduced him to Will, and Paul gave them a mint julep on the house. Lenny Jo, who has such a tender heart, felt bad for him. She says he's let the music inside him die. On a more positive note, before the grandchildren arrived in New York, Gary and I had our annual doctor's visits. We were both given a clean bill of health. Gary's heart is fine, and I'm still cancer-free. I'm so grateful I lived long enough to enjoy my sweet grandchildren. Speaking of whom, Leslie and Jilly are awake. Leslie likes to cuddle in my lap, and Jilly sits beside me while I read them a story. We're reading a few chapters of Charlotte's Web every day. They'll be clamoring for this morning's installment, so I better end this soon. Really, Leslie, despite what might have sounded like grumbling, I'm glad you suggested Grandma Camp. I'm sure the children will remember these wonderful days we're spending together. Yes, I know I'm in England almost as much as I am in New York and Florida, but this is different. Get back to me soon and tell me exactly when you and Stephen plan to visit us in Florida next winter. You've talked about wintering here so often, I feel compelled to tell you that the condo next to ours is up for sale. And at a good price, too. Gary and I are friends with the Greensteins. We all had drinks with them on the balcony, remember? And they wanted me to mention this. Think about it. The last time we even lived in the same town was when we were in high school. Wouldn't it be divine to be neighbors? Email me soon. Love, Jillian. Jillian Gordon, from Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com. To Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent, July 22, 2010, 8:20 p.m. Subject, Grandma Camp. Dearest Jillian, you always could make me laugh. I can just picture you with Charlie and the twins. No doubt they ran you ragged before noon. I, on the other hand, had the advantage of having raised 4 children, so Grandma Camp was less of a shock to my system. During the early days of motherhood, I was single, as you all remember. Looking back, I wonder how I ever survived those years. I do know that your friendship, love, and encouragement went a long way toward helping me do it. The fact that I now have 4 adult children, each of them established in life and doing well, feels like a miracle. They've all had to face their own demons, but that wasn't unexpected. Their father was an alcoholic and their mother too confused and codependent to do anything more than cope. I find my children truly amazing. I'm so proud of each one. Did I mention that David and Megan came by for dinner on Sunday? Stephen stood guard over the barbecue and did an impressive job with the marinated chicken. Lindy gave him the recipe. Davy, who isn't quite 15, is talking about getting his driver's license. He's already picked out the type of car he wants. His father reminded him that if he wants to drive, he has to keep up his grades, which shouldn't be a problem since he's a smart boy. Hard to believe my oldest grandchild is about to start high school. Do you remember when Sister Agnes gave you a demerit during our 3rd year at Holy Name Academy? You'd rolled up the waistband of your skirt so it didn't touch the ground when you knelt down? How scandalous! Can you imagine what Sister Agnes would think of the way girls dress these days? Times sure have changed. Lindy and I talk every day. How the two of us ever survived her teenage years is beyond me. She chose well when she married Jordan. He's been a good husband and father to her and their 3 children. We're close. As close as you and Lenny Jo. And I'm so grateful for that. I don't know how she manages with her job at the hospital, her family, and everything else. And yet she does. Oh, Doug phoned early this morning with some great news. Word is that the Navy will probably station him in Bremerton. That'll be the first time my son and his family will live in the state of Washington since he enlisted back in 1989.
I'm over the moon at the thought of having Doug, Julie, and their kids, Josie and Paul, close by. They love California, but Seattle will always be their home. It made this mother-grandmother very happy to know I won't need to book a flight in order to see them or drive to the airport to pick them up. Josie and Paul hardly know their cousins. Other than you, my cousins were my best friends when we were growing up. Josie and Paul have never had the opportunity to spend more than a week or two with theirs. Lindy wants to host a welcome party for them, which is so like her. I don't hear from Chris as often as I'd like. He has 2 years of sobriety and is now doing well. I worry about his finances, but he never comes to me for money. I'm grateful he's taking responsibility for himself. Getting him into rehab was the best thing we could have done. He often thanks me for the family intervention we did with him. He hated having to admit he's an alcoholic, but heaven knows he came by it honestly. Seeing my son succeed, so far, in his struggle with alcohol makes me wonder what might have happened if Buck had been able to get the help he needed. For all his faults, I think Buck wanted to be a good father. He simply didn't know how. Thankfully, Stephen gave my children a great example of what a husband and father should be. They all love him. Honestly, Jillian, I don't know what my life would be like without him. He's been so good to me and my family. I thank God every day for sending Stephen into my life. My goodness, I have gotten long-winded in my old age, haven't I? I wanted to let you know I think you're brave and wonderful for entertaining your grandchildren at your very own grandma camp. And I'm so pleased both you and Gary have a clean bill of health. Mainly, I wanted to tell you that Stephen and I are seriously interested in the Greensteins condo. Just think, we could be neighbors next winter. Oh, Jillian, we'd have so much fun. Imagine living right next door to my very best friend. As soon as you get more details, send them on. Love, Leslie. Leslie Milton, from Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com to Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent. July 23, 2010, 3:40 p.m. Subject, Grandma Camp and Florida. Leslie, Gary and I just got home from taking the grandkids to see the Frick Collection, which is my favorite museum ever. I can hear the girls chattering away in their bedroom and Charlie's looking for a ball game on the TV. So I'm taking advantage of this brief period of quiet to email you back. I'm sending the realtor's information in a separate message. Fingers crossed that this works out. You know, I have a lot to be thankful for. My family, my health, my very comfortable retirement, and my friendship with you. It's one of the most important things in my life. Love, Jillian. Jillian Gordon. From Leslie Milton at FriendsNetwork.com to Jillian Gordon at FriendsNetwork.com. Sent July 23, 2010, 7:59 p.m. Subject, Grandma Camp and Florida. Jillian. Got the real estate info. Thanks. We'll get on this right away. Ditto everything you said in your email about reasons for gratitude. You and I, we're very blessed. As my grandkids say, we're BFFs. And it really is forever. Next winter in Florida, on your balcony or ours, we'll raise a glass to friendship. Can't wait. Much love. Leslie. This is Amy Tolmage. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Between Friends by Debbie Macomber. Produced by Elgin Productions. Executive producer Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by Debbie Macomber. Production copyright 2018 by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books S.A. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.